Pickup Country gets around, and we have the post to prove it. Like WSKV-FM on Facebook and let us know where you're listening from.
It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Sports Talk Live here on WSK. I said Sports Talk Live, didn't I?
Powell County Sports Network Live.
It's my first time doing that, and we've been doing this now, what, fifth week, I guess, doing this or so. And, yeah, I reverted back just a second to the old time, the Sports Talk Live days. But this is PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and this is Dave Fowler along with Ken Simon. And tonight we hope to have Coach Mike Jones, who has now been named as the new head football coach of the Powell County High School Pirates football, and we'll have him on here about 6:10, hopefully, and we'll see how that goes, and may have another guest on, but depends on how long Mike wants to talk. If he wants to talk for an hour, we'll just talk to Mike for an hour. Anyway, graduations are continuing. We'll have no student guest on because that would have been really difficult to schedule around the graduation ceremonies, which are going from Tuesday until tomorrow. They will round out the graduating class of 2020 from the Powell County High School. And to all the graduates, for the completers at the middle school, I guess, at promotions at the middle school and the elementary schools, it has been a different 2020 for those all those ceremonies. And I know at the high school, this is the third day or second day of a three-day process of graduation. And they had honors night on Monday. So this is the fourth straight day. I know that staff is probably getting worn out. 7 hours a day for the graduation part, and they're really working hard out there.
And that's not counting, any prep that they have to do prior to that, right, and or even locking up in a sense. But kudos to Doug Brewer, the principal there at the high school, and the staff that have been instrumental in kind of organizing this. Obviously, they're planning some special things for this graduating class, even though very difficult circumstances. But I think so far, with all of the promotion ceremonies, as well as even here the graduation ceremony, I honestly feel like there's been good feedback from parents, from the students as well, just under these difficult circumstances. So, I mean, that's great. Obviously, they're doing what they can in order to make this a special event, a special occasion for these graduates, and it's unfortunate that we're still in this, but still everybody's putting on their happy face in a sense and making the most of it.
Yeah, and we're still not sure how long this is going to be the normal for us. The things that they have to do, again, it's limited to 10 in the building, and there are five. You can bring in the graduate plus four. There's five people you'll work with as you go inside, so that's the 10. And but you're never with, there's never 10 together at the same time. So that's a good thing at the high school. And we watched it through FaceTime with our niece Riley today, and it was a special graduation again for us and the family, and actually a video going through the process of the graduation. And you know, walk into pomp circumstance, and the kid walks to their seat, or we watched Riley do that, and then from the seat she walks forward to accept the diploma like they normally do. And again, they're playing the pomp and circumstance, and again, as she picked up her diploma from Mr. Brewer, who was masked, and goes through, and then the photo shoots, and then walk through the halls, and the rest, they complete that process, and you know, it's special for the graduate. And again, I think sometimes the way that we've done this at the high school, and I say we as a staff member there, or retired staff member, I'm so proud of what the high school has came up with as an alternate graduation platform for these kids. And really, they're getting to do everything they want on normal graduation day, except it's only taking about 6 minutes.
Yeah, and unfortunately the large crowd is not necessarily there, and obviously their peers, you know, to be able to go through that collectively, very difficult. But again, with the way that they've structured this, as best they can under these circumstances. It is amazing to me, honestly. Again, kudos to the high school staff, you know, for pulling all of this together. And obviously they have some things that they're working on as well, you know, for these graduates. Again, this class is going to always be remembered. You know, despite the circumstance, this is a special class across the country, no matter if it's high school and or college for that matter, because there are college graduates that aren't necessarily having those ceremonies, you know, typical ceremonies as well. But kudos to them, though, for holding their head high, realizing they have made this accomplishment, and bigger and brighter things are ahead of them. You know, sometimes delays and things happen in life that become setbacks, you know, and we don't understand them at the time, but, you know, when we forge ahead and push through them, then good things come, you know, on the other side. So hopefully that's, you know, a sign, even though we're kind of down in the valley, hopefully we're able to climb back up on top of that mountain again.
Like I said, even the way this is dark, you know, you look at a dark picture and it's down, they're making this into something that's going to be really special to these seniors, and they're going to see that when this production's finished. But, you know, it takes so many people to get this going. And I know I saw the counselors, Martina and Christy, a part of the process out there with Doug on the stage. And I couldn't really tell who else was helping, but I know I saw those three, and the counselors are phenomenal. I know Mr. Lynn's involved somewhere in there, I would assume. I just don't remember where I saw him. But there's so many of these kids that in this process, they have that I've talked to either at like fast food or like at Ace when I go up there to do some business there, or even at like even at Rogers Hardware where I talked to John some, that these kids have been so upbeat and been so positive. I mean, to me, it would have just been devastating to not have a senior season. These kids have just taken it with a grain of salt and went on and actually been thankful for some other things that have happened. So the ones that we have talked to has been, it's been really remarkable how this class has dealt with these things. And I'm really impressed with really everybody out there. And there's all these negative people out there that are, you know, trying to fight or whatever it is. But these kids have been very resilient. And I'm thankful for the way that they have stayed and followed most of the protocol that they've been asked to do. And done the thing that they're supposed to, and still done it with their heads held high, and go through this process, and that's a lot for these kids to do.
Yeah, especially at a young age. Yes. Again, going back to the interviews that we've had, well represented from this class, and obviously we could talk to the whole senior class, and I would assume collectively they have that same mindset. Again, it's a setback. It's not what we expected, but we're dealing with it. We're coping with it. We'll learn from this experience and move forward. And it's not going to necessarily put a damper on things in a sense. They're going to have that positive outlook, as we all should in a sense. You know, again, realizing that setbacks and things occur that we are unexpected, you know, that you have to go through. But their outlook, their maturity, beyond their years in many respects, right?
Exactly.
As far as their outlook and everything and the way that they've handled themselves, again, kudos to this class. And I think you ended up even saying something along those lines last week. I think representative just of this community, if we took this little class as a representation of our community, I think that's kind of how our community is in a sense. I think those that have graduated before and those that will graduate after, we truly have a wonderful community here.
Yes.
Good group of kids in general, not a lot of problems and issues. You know, you're always going to have mischievousness, you know, among teens in a sense, but, you know, who wasn't mischievous as a teenager in general, you know, in that regard. But I think collectively, though, a good representation of what this community is and going forward, really what we have here.
Yeah, as we start to open up more and more, I think either we're going to see more problems or more people stepping up and really doing the right thing, which you, when I go out, I see a lot of masks in places of business, and that's, to me, is a good thing. They're kind of following the protocol and doing what they're supposed to be doing. When we get a little bit further advanced in this, which is going to happen soon here, we're right around the corner, things will open up a little bit more. So we'll talk a little bit maybe about that later on in the show. But there's so many people that I know that are just fighting to get back open. And I know economically it's hard on folks. And the illness by itself is the point that you have to look at. As devastating as the illness can be, especially to the elderly or those in a confined area, it is a awful illness. So I think the kids' perspective with what I have taken so far is, look, if that's all we got to give up to not spread this, not make it any worse, it's okay. If our adults around this area could take a little bit of a lesson from these seniors that we've heard from, I think we could do some wonderful things, because that's what it's going to take to get us through this a little bit more solidly and get us more advanced where you have the, you know, we've only had one case for a reason, hopefully, in this area, or that has been tested. And I'm not sure what the testing numbers are in Powell County. I wish we could get those numbers for you. It would be kind of interesting to see. You know, I know there's been several tested. I don't know if we've had 100 or 200 tests or whatever the test numbers have been. But again, only one positive case so far, and hopefully that's all we have going forward. But, you know, if this comes back in the fall like people think it might, then we may be doing this all over again. So, you know, that's one of the things interesting to hear what Mike has to say about with football. What are your plans? Because we've got a little bit of the information out, and it seems like nothing's going to work. But we'll see what the positive side is maybe here in just a few moments. Again, we'll try to get a hold of Coach Mike Jones. We'll take a break here on PCSN with Dave and Ken. Back in a few moments here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a newer used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless wants to know if you're tired of settling. Settling for a phone you didn't really want because it was more about the cost of the device rather than the phone you really wanted. Well, Appalachian Wireless has the solution, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. With Advantage, every phone model is back on the table because you only have to pay the taxes on the device you really want. Many of our hottest smartphones are less than $50 up front, then a few extra dollars on your monthly bill with Appalachian Advantage. Payment agreement is required. See store for complete details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine. Faster, closer, better.
And welcome back here with PCSN with Dave and Ken. We are now going to be joined by Coach Mike Jones, new head football coach of Powell County High School Pirates. How are you doing, Mike?
Doing good. Excited.
All right. Now, tough questions, I guess, and we'll start you out with the tough ones here. The Estill County, you was at Estill County, well, let me back up. You graduated from Estill County. You coached there for 18 seasons, and now you're coaching the Powell County Pirates. You know what the rivalry has been like over the past few years. What does it mean to you?
Well, you need those kind of games in your program. It was always a big game, and it affects kids, too. I was always worried about, you know, if you lost the game, how would it affect the rest of your season? And, you know, I think the big thing is, yeah, just have fun with it. You know, I said the other day that I got people I love and care about. A lot of my family still lives over there. And it's going to be a hot atmosphere. Always is.
Mm-hmm.
Always is, whether I'm here or not. And, you know, it's going to be exciting, be fun. And it's one of the, you know, it's what high school football is all about.
I totally agree with that.
So what has the reaction been from family and friends over in Estill County to your hiring here in Powell?
You know, I've not heard much from there. I know I see things on Facebook and stuff, and some shock, and then a lot of people's happy for me, glad that, you know, I'm back in a head coaching position. I haven't heard much. I'm sure there'll be more to come. Just not heard much. Seen some things on Facebook, but really no. And a lot of it's very positive, you know. It's a lot of ex-students that I had and ex-players congratulating me and never really said anything negative.
Yeah, I think most of the folks, if you take the rivalry out of Powell and Estill, you've got a lot of similarities between the two schools and the two counties. That being said, as a coach that's been one of my most heated rivals, I guess, in the last several years, is always the Estill County rivalry as a softball coach and basketball. It's always the biggest game, and I know in football is always the one you look to. I can't see anybody in Estill County being upset with you or being negative with you, knowing what you did for their program coming to Powell. I think everybody should be excited. That the people I know in Estill County, I think they'll all be excited for you as you go forward here in Powell.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I had retired, and it was a constant thing on my mind. What would you do if this thing opened up here? I went to Montgomery County for a year just, you know, look at a new way of doing things and watching how they did. Of course, it's totally different. It's a bigger school and over 100 kids playing and things like that. I learned a lot of little different things and administrative things, culture things, and things that's going to help me. But it's going to be a hot night that night.
What week is that penciled in right now on the schedule? Week as far as the number?
It'll be the second week.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah.
So we're still in the same region, except we're the different conference, right? With Estill.
Yes. Same region, different
district.
So as far as even accepting the position here, what was it that kind of led you to even interview for it, to be interested in it? Obviously, you had retired from Estill, decided to kind of get back into things over in Montgomery, but what was it about this particular position, this particular time in your life as far as coaching that attracted you to Powell?
I think very similar, because it was very similar to Estill County. I remember when I went to Estill County, there was no place to dress, and there was no field house, and very similar kids, very similar demographics. I thought that even last year when I was at Montgomery, I thought the Powell County kids play hard, and you know, I know I'm close to a lot of players and kids over there that didn't have great family situations, and we took care of them and built great relationships with those kids and tried to get them through high school and turn them in productive adults. And you know, I think I can do the same thing here. And you know, when I took this job, I heard from a lot of those people that I say me, but I mean, we impacted there at Estill County with the football program. I see a lot of similarities. However, I think that the facilities and things like that is a lot better here than when I took over at Estill County. So
Yeah, this is actually a newer program than Estill. Estill's got a lot more tradition, I think, than does PAL. And I think if you have a difference in football, that's probably the difference, the biggest difference that you'll see is you had more people that were that had played football in the past and their kids were playing, and here you're just really running into the kids that are playing now that their parents have played. And in Estill County, it was a little bit more of a tradition over there.
Yeah, I played for Hoover Knees there, and his grandkids is getting up there playing, and you're right about that. And but there's a lot of similarities in the kids, and I've substitute taught here, and especially at the lower levels, the elementary schools, and just real impressed with the kids. You know, that's going to be fun trying to get them to play football and trying to stay in the schools and recruiting and things like that.
Now, I'll go ahead and ask you this. Now, you actually live in Powell County, correct?
Yes.
I want to make sure people didn't understand. You're not just coming here as an outsider. You're coming here actually as a person who lived in Powell County and is going to take this job. So this is something I know you were at a lot of the basketball games. I know Allie cheers and plays golf. So you're always there for her as a parent. And I know that you'll be the same way, I think, for this school as you were at Estill County. How long do you think you would like to do this again going forward since you are retired? I know I am the same way, but I love coaching, so I'm still in it. What do you see going forward, 10 more years out of you or something like that?
Yeah, we'll play it by ear, as long as your health holds up and I'm health conscious and keep trying to, hang in there. I married April Reed Jones, and she was part of this decision too to take over this program. We've been living here about going on 4 years, so I was excited about how the community has treated me in the schools, substitute teaching, and impressed with the programs Allie's involved in, and I always try to be there for her. Going back to as long as I can go, I'll go. And I'm feeling pretty good right now. I probably felt a lot worse not doing anything, really. I think that wanes on you more than anything. I think everybody's got to have a goal, a purpose, even as an assistant over there. I was constantly, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? How would you handle that,
Yes,
of course, I've about seen all that kind of.
Yeah, see, here we are, and I talked to you as we, as retired teachers and been in coaching for most of our adult lives, you're always still learning. I mean, it's not like it's something new for you when you go in, or something old. You learn things every time you go out there.
You do. Whether it be program-wise, how to handle certain problems, handling equipment, dealing with kids. I watched Coach Egley when he would call a kid in and talk to him, how he talked to him. And he's I've bragged on him before. He does an excellent job. And then culture is a big thing. I think nowadays you got to make sure your culture is really good. And how do you know that? It's how the kids behave and how they love the coach and the coach loves them. And not just about football, it's doing things off the field and together and spending time together. I don't believe you can be hard on a kid till he knows you love him. So I've experienced all that. And there's so many things. I've learned one big thing is to keep things simple. Don't get you're going to see a lot of things and learn a lot of new things. But I think genius is simplicity.
You saying that gives me a little throwback. You said you played for Hoover, and I know Bruce Reynolds started this program back in the 80s, and he played for Hoover, and one of the things he always says as coaching was keep it simple. Of course, he added the stupid part to it. I won't necessarily keep it there, but I think maybe he got that from Hoover as well, or is that – am I mistaken on that part?
He could have. I don't know. Hoover kept things really simple, and then I worked for – different people, and some of those people, you know, had just had too much on the buffet and couldn't eat it all. And
yeah, that's right.
I think that busy feet equals a mind that's not thinking, or busy minds equals slow feet. Is what Coach used to tell me all the time.
That makes a lot of sense. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about the COVID issue and the start of fall sports, if that's all right with you.
That sounds good.
All right, buddy. We'll take a break here on WSKV PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkel Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkel Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
All right, folks, welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And we are again joined by Coach Mike Jones, the new head football coach here at the Powell County High School. And I got Ken's got you a couple questions over here ready to go, Mike.
Coach, you actually kind of alluded to it a little bit, making a reference, as far as like the elementary school kids, and let's even include middle school kids as far as trying to get them involved in playing football. One of the things we've kind of talked about in a sense, there's not a lot of continuity between the elementary, middle, and high school as far as systems, if you will, even if it's common language that's being used. What are your plans in a sense as far as trying to come in here, to get maybe some of that continuity going, even if taking it all the way down to flag football for that matter, just to try and get some of that continuity and get more involvement at the younger level to have larger numbers at the high school?
Yeah, I think that's important. That's important, especially at the middle school. They're getting in at that age there. But here's something I learned, and I know I've talked about that. I know a big word in school now is curriculum alignment. And, schools try to do that with what they're teaching. So, they're tied in there close. But here's things, too, that probably need to think about there is, say you have some skill guys in seventh grade, and they can throw the ball. That's where you run into a problem. To say, like, if we end up running my offense, the double wing, and that seventh grade team can throw the ball around and have the guys to do it, that's probably the trump card there on that. But if you don't have that coming up in the lower level, then probably everybody needs to be running that same system, using the same lingo, things like that. That's just kind of my philosophy on it.
Now, you mentioned go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's just kind of my philosophy on that. But if you know none's coming up and there's no throwing quarterbacks, I agree with you on that. Everybody needs to be on the same page and curriculum align it all the way down.
So do you see yourself even going down to the middle school, elementary school, introduce yourself in a sense, and even flag football for that matter, kind of introduce yourself to kind of get out there and try and, you know, bring about more interest in playing the sport?
Yes, you have to. You have to. You know, one thing, when I was at Estill, we, at the end of the year, we always went and met with the middle school kids. I think a clinic, doing a coaching clinic with the middle school and the youth league coaches, it's going to be a big deal. I want to try to get that scheduled, and we'll talk it out. You know, if they think they got skilled kids and they want to do something else, and you know, okay, I'll come and watch. I'll let you know if you got what you need to do that or not. And I kind of know what it takes. We ran the spread with my son Trevor because we could. You know, he could throw it, he could run it. Pretty good decision maker. We could protect him. We had guys that could catch it. So when you get into that tight scheme, you're getting into the you know, a whole lot more athleticism, and you need the parts to do it. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, now, when you had Trevor, you still ran a lot of the double wing. Because as radio broadcasters, you guys, when y'all were playing Tony, and the belly versus the double wing, sometimes it's very difficult to pick up who has the ball when you're a radio guy. And I understand that's the scheme, is to try to hide where the ball is.
Trickeration.
And, you know, I know when Powell County was running it well, we didn't know who had the football. Same thing for you guys. When you all running it well, we didn't know who had the football. The same way, a lot of times it was Trevor when he was playing, but you still ran a lot of the double wing with him.
Yes, that, you know, it's a heck of a system, and you know, Brandon ran the pistol wing T here, and that's very deceptive. And then Coach Burchett ran that, and it was very deceptive. Those two guys was on the right track, I think, for here, the demographics and what they were dealing with. I think they did a good job at what they do, you know.
Let me ask this. How similar is a double wing compared to the belly that Tony ran?
The big difference is probably more power. We're going to pull the backside guard and tackle. We're going to do a lot of kicking out, a lot of double teams. The big thing, there's more deception. We have tight line splits, which, you know, kind of makes blitzing non-effective. Those two offenses that they had bigger splits.
Yeah.
So it's kind of blitz-proof, makes it harder to see the ball when they're in there that close. It makes double teams easy, down blocks easier. I'm a firm believer the more space, more space that you create, the more you ask of that kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And we kind of take that away and try to use it to our advantage. I tell people we run RPOs, but it's more like run people over. And tempo, we walk to the line. We're gonna rest, and then we're gonna explode for about 5 to 6 seconds. And we create space, but we create it outside.
It's a fun offense, and we got into that. Sometimes you get the criticism of it's not a passing type of offense, so it's kind of boring. But it's effective, and I know listening to Tony and him explaining it to me was, you know, Dave, when you're at a small school and you don't have big linemen, you got to do something simple, and kind of like what you're talking about. He said you can kind of use a smaller kid to be a blocker in the belly at that point, and I'm sure it's similar to what you're doing in the double wing.
Yeah, and you know, it's instead of having a ton of plays, I think you all remember Bruce Lee, if you're close to my age, and Bruce Lee said, "I'm more afraid of a guy that practices one kick 1,000 times than a guy that practices
1,000 kicks one time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the philosophy that we're going to get really, really good. You know, we're going to sit in there, you know, for an hour and run power for an hour and film it and perfect it. And, you know, it's the play you got to establish. Some people call it the pitch. Some people call it the toss. And you got to establish. It looks like the same play, but we may block it a little different, you know.
Yeah.
And I always said it made good backs look great and average backs look good. And you know, that team I had in 2016 wasn't expected to do anything. And we were trying to run the spread. And we went to Fleming County and got beat, and it looked awful. And we sat down and said, "All right, we gotta quit pretending to be something that we're not."
Yeah.
And we did. We lost to LCA, but then we didn't lose the rest of the season. Won the district, and got beat in the second round of playoffs. And had a heck of by a group of guys that only had six seniors. So it allowed us to do some things, some good things with guys that wasn't supposed to be very good. So
yeah, that's the beauty, I think, is what you're talking about. It's so simple for the kids that they can't really mess it up because that's all they really practice. I mean, I've worked under several basketball coaches. One of the coaches we used to have, he said, if I can run two plays and run them really well, have a zone offense that I run, have a man-to-man offense I run. If I can run those two plays really well, I'll do much better doing that than having 15 plays that we're trying to call out. Is that a similar analogy?
Oh, yeah. You know, you try. Like I said, you're going to the buffet, and the kids can't eat it all. And, you know, with that, you just work on it. And that gets tough. You got to fight the boredom in practice and things like that. But you always got to keep telling them what you're trying to do, and help them understand it. Like I said, it goes back to that, you know, practicing one kick 1,000 times. That guy's going to be really good at that one kick.
Yep.
And if he hits you with it, you're probably going to get knocked out.
And that makes a lot of sense for our listeners out there. And I don't think it's going to be a big change for a lot of our kids. It's going to be really similar to the kids coming back. Now I had 2 years. We've lost several seniors, so it's kind of going to be a clean slate for you to start this. Are you excited about restarting with a fresher group, if you will?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities, especially in philosophy. I'm sure if you talk to Brandon or Coach Burchett, you know, it's the same philosophies, just little differences in line splits and
yep.
Certain things. Those guys are smart, and that's the way you win. You know, you got to be totally unselfish. To do that, you got to quit watching so much. Well, you can watch it, but don't. You know, that's a different kind of deal. Saturdays, you know, they recruited those kids to their system.
You said it exactly. They recruit to their system, not to necessarily what the best offense is out there, or most popular offense. It's about the system first.
Yeah, I mean, I coached college ball, and we ran a pro style offense, and we would go out and find those guys, wherever it may be. And then in the NFL level, they draft them.
Yep.
And pay them a lot of money to play in their system. They know what they're looking for. And that's going to be the big thing is selling it and buy-in. We might be the only double-wing team in the state of Kentucky when it's all said and done. But that becomes your identity. And I guarantee you, they'll be in the top five in the state of Kentucky and Russia.
Yeah, and that, I think the big picture is what the end result is. And, you know, I think now our kids haven't seen a lot of the throw-it-up offense, if you will. I know we played with it a couple times, and I think maybe too much. But
desperation, though, at times.
Yeah, and we weren't a good comeback team. But, again, I know sometimes the really strong offense is a really good defense as well. The longer you stay on the field, the less the other team's on there as well.
Right. You know, you drain the life out of that clock. And, you know, it wasn't unusual for us to drive 9-10 minutes and eat the whole quarter of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be that makes your defense better.
Well, they're a lot fresher, and normally you wear their defense out by the fourth quarter. It's kind of all over but the crime for the other team, and that's kind of what you're. That's what the goal is, I think, with your type of offense. We got one more break to do here, Coach. If we come back again, then we'll get into the COVID issue here, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. And we'll take a break here from WSKV PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back to PCSN with Dave and Ken. And again, we are joined by the new head football coach of the Powell County High School Pirates, Mr. Coach Mike Jones. All right, Coach, here's a tough question for you. Again, we don't know where we're going yet in the fall with fall sports. What have you heard so far about the start of your season? I know you had already got started probably if you would have been able to be in session.
I got a document today that kind of phase-in type program. I think, you know, this is just a short version of it, but phase one would be like no more than 10 kids working out. Probably not going to be in the field house. They recommend body weight type exercises, trying to keep 6 foot, watching your hands before and after. Throwing footballs is tough, you know. I don't know what we're going to do there unless we disinfect every time a ball is thrown, you know, disinfect it, or I don't know what you do with that.
I've seen some of that too, yeah.
It's an impossible situation. I don't know how it can, especially football. Football is considered high risk. So, you know, it's just going to be a lot of disinfecting, keeping them apart, and then you can go up to 50 kids and use the field house, washing their hands before. Always got to do a temperature check for COVID symptoms. And it's a big lot of stuff. In fact, I was down working on it, working up sheets to hang in the locker room. But I've got to sit and ponder on and talk to some other coaches how they're going to do it, because, you know, football's a contact sport, and it's going to be tough. I think the big thing is we better get them ready for, you know, injuries is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
They've got to have some kind of training to get ready for the season.
Do you have anything in place that you can send the kids, like, here's your workout program. If you've got equipment, please do some things on your own.
Yeah. You know, nothing takes place of weight. So, you know, we can send them, give them examples of things, you know, like body weight workouts and things like that. But you know how that goes. Somebody ain't standing over you usually.
Yeah.
Unless you got a lot of self-discipline. So, ain't gonna happen. I'll probably try to get them together at 10
10 at a time, keep them separate, separate them on the field. And we got some rubber weight there at the field house. We'll bring it out with a bar. And we have a little thing I saw before where you like power clean and then run 10, 15 yards and shuffle 10, 15 yards and back. And you like power clean it, front squat it, and then press it. So you're getting your weights. It's not incredibly heavy, but it works that explosion you need, you know, coming off the football, tackling, things like that. So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone doing that. So that's kind of my plan. We'll get excited. We'll turn some music on and do that for about 20, 30 minutes and then do some speed stuff. But we got to get them ready, get their bodies ready.
So as far as even reaching out to the players, how's that been? Any contact with the players last year's, you know, roster? What's kind of been the reception you've gotten from them?
I've got a lot of friend requests. Some of them messaged me on there. We're going to do a Google Hangout or kind of like a Zoom Friday. And so we'll kind of be face-to-face with them and talk to them. Coach Cornett is getting that worked up, and so that'll be my first real face-to-face with him, and then I'll talk to him about expectations and things, and then any questions they have, and it's going to be tough. I guess that's the toughest part, because I haven't been able to, you know, get with him and talk. And so, you know, in a kid's mind, there's a lot of uncertainty there, and anxiety and things like that, and then that causes me anxiety. So, but we'll get together soon enough, hopefully, and start laying the groundwork.
So you even mentioned coaches. Obviously, there are a couple of openings for some assistant coaches. What's the progress with filling those hires for yourself?
I guess the first thing we're going to do is get a middle school coach and get that thing established. And I've contacted, you know, I spent some time with Chris Cornett, and I've got a few others I got to call and talk to them, and then we'll try to get together and meet and talk about things, and I think we'll be fine. There's two positions there. I'm just going to try to sit on them a little bit, see what happens, and I'm excited about the guys that's around here, and talk to them. As far as, you know, you got to have teaching positions, and I don't see any of that.
Not many.
It's tough when you do that. I like having the coaches here because, and I always say this about principals and superintendents and things like that. I said, if they're from that town, they're going to do everything they can for that town.
You're right.
So, as far as going out and looking for guys and things like that, I think the best for the school is to get people that's from here and that really cares about the kids in the community.
I love that response.
Because I've seen it, you know. You get people in from other places, and, you know, they don't owe anybody there nothing, and even the kids. So my experience with that. And to talk about Chris, you can tell that he wants to do the best for kids and the players. That was the first words out of his mouth. He said he was concerned about them, where we can't, you know, get around them and talk to them and stuff. So,
and that's
going to hopefully we'll get out on Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge issue for us, I think, going forward, Mike. Is I know they talked about, like, golf, for an example, was maybe okay to start with golf and swimming and cross country, but not okay for competitive cheer, football, soccer. And I know some of the things that they threw out, and it's probably similar for you. Softball practice you can have, but you can't pass. You can have only one player per ball unless it's disinfected down the other end. Basketball is the same way, only one ball per player, and they can't share basketballs, and they can't share footballs that way. And like you said, the things that we're getting that you can't do makes it almost impossible to be able to play the games. Are you at all worried that there'll be a delay of a start or maybe a partial season at all this year?
Yeah, the way it sounds to me, and I hate to say this, but, you know, the things they're saying is makes it almost impossible. So, you know, I guess this is going to be a day-by-day thing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it I don't understand. You know, it's kind of like they tell you one thing and then they tell you something else and it don't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, when you go into a store and I pick up a box of oatmeal, I don't know who picked up that box of oatmeal there before me.
That's right. I know yesterday they come out with something. The government came out and said there was a less problem than they thought with contact items. That was just, I think, something new that just had came out, but there still were about surfaces. But, you know, that's something that may be coming out later, that there's not as much concern in the surface contact as there was a month ago. So every passing day, there's new information coming out that may be less impactful for our sports. And hopefully they can get these going. But when I mentioned earlier, like golf compared to football, do you think the KHSA would start any sport if they can't start them all?
I don't.
See, I don't either. I'm with you on that. My thinking is I don't think they allow anybody to play if we can't play. You know, if you can't play soccer or football, you should be going out and playing golf and cross country or fishing. I mean, I'm not knocking any of those sports. I just can't see them starting one without starting everything.
Yeah. I just don't see them do it. And then when you're going to make it up, you know, say you don't have football season. Of course, these kids from the spring, baseball and the spring sports,
yep,
kind of in that situation. I don't know. I really am worried because the things they're saying don't make a whole lot of sense. And, you know, I heard like Louisiana was letting football get started practicing the 8th.
Really?
Of June.
Well, I think by June, though, I think we're going to have more information that can tell us where we're going. Because what's the first start date that you would have had for football?
We would be, as far as through June, we would have the weight room open. And, you know, getting their bodies and minds and things like that prepared. So July 15th is your first official football practice day.
So really we've got, if they can find some things to do as far as the weights are concerned and lifting is concerned, you've really got, still got a month or so before we can kind of hit those panic buttons, right?
I think so. You know, like I said, I'm going to try to. Here's something I was going to mention there a minute ago. What is the liabilities? You know, I talked to my wife and I was looking at her reading all this, and I said, you know, what is wonderful? One of these kids get COVID,
yep.
And you know, is there liabilities attached to that? And I wouldn't have worried about that 10, 15 years ago, but today's world is a little different.
Yeah, I will promise you this, in my opinion, this is my opinion, if you get a kid with COVID, your program is going to be shut down, period. I think that's kind of been what we've seen with this outbreak, this pandemic that got started in March and earlier. When it got started and we started shutting down, again, that's the thing that we did. I think if you even started school back and you get a case or two, I don't think we're in session very long. You know what I mean? And I see a lot of people keeping their kids home and not allowing them maybe to go back to school in the fall.
Yeah, I think if, especially, you know, I would be kind of watching as things relax and people start to mingle a little more and let their guard down. Is there going to be a spike?
Yeah.
And what's that spike going to mean? You know, in the meantime, I'm going to try to get things ready sit on and see what happens, you know, we've never seen times like these.
It's not fun to be a coach right now. I know we miss this, you know, softball season and baseball season, and it hurts for the kids. And again, you got kids looking forward to football. You're looking for basketball in the winter and baseball again in the spring. And you know, these guys that you're talking about. And again, it's tough for the kids, but it's also tough to plan. And you don't know, still don't really know what's going on with it all. You got any final thoughts, Doris, before we let you go?
No, just everybody stay safe out there. We'll keep. We're going to try to make contact with the players. You know, I want to kind of send a message out to the players, and you know, don't have no anxiety. Things are going to be all right. Things are going to work out the way we want them to. The big thing is just going to be one heartbeat, and all work out in our favor. Just got to be patient. Don't sit around on the couch. Get out and run. Don't jog long distances. Just, you know, 10-yard sprints, 20-yard sprints. Walk back, go again. Walk back, go again. Don't a lot of push-ups, crunches, things like that. Squat jumps. And keep working until that time comes when we get together.
And that way you can be a little bit ahead.
Right. And I thank you all for having me on here.
Well, congratulations on the hire, Coach. I think it's a great fit for the Powell County Pirates, and we're very fortunate to have you here at the Pirate family. So, again, congratulations, and thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you all. All right,
thanks. Thank you. Take care. Yeah, look forward to talking to you even more down the line.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to take a break here at PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Back in a moment, a few closing thoughts here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Ken, Dave and Ken, or whoever we are. Again, I would like to thank big thank you out to Coach Mike Jones, the new head football coach of the Powell County Pirates. And I tell you what, when we get started with football, people will be very excited about Coach Mike Jones. And I think once we get that system in place, and I don't think it's a terrible throw here. I think it's a similar type of offense. These kids will pick it up really quickly. And like he said, keep it simple. And once he gets that going, I think it'll be a very potent offense for the Pirates. And Mike did a phenomenal job at Estill County and wherever he's been before. And I think he'll just bring that right here to the Pirates.
And I think on one hand, I don't necessarily think that the average fan will see a big difference offensively in that regard, right?
Right.
They're still going to trick you. We're still going to have a difficult time figuring out who has the ball. You know,
what
that is a good thing. But I'm saying, but that's the point, though, is that I think that, you know, he's carrying on the torch. there won't be that much of a huge transition from a fan perspective. They're going to still see the same types of things in a sense. But ultimately, the bottom line is you won't win the game by whatever means. I mean, even when we were in college, Roy Kidd, what'd he do? He's going to run it down your throat for 300 yards every game, and he's going to run it down your throat. And guess what? I'm going to run, and you know I'm going to run. You have to stop me in a sense. You know, very few passing opportunities within games like that. To me, I like those grind out. Let's just go right up against you. You know I'm going to run the ball, and you're going to have to stop me. And guess what? You're not going to do it because we're going to be more efficient and effective offensively than what you're going to present to us defensively, and we're going to score. Maybe it is low-scoring games, but again, the bottom line is win the game.
If you wind up with more points than the other team at the end, you've done your job. And I think with the offense comes a couple of things. Like he said, you grind out the clock, you control the offense, it's a ball control game. If you've got a weak defense, if that's your weakest link, for an example, you keep that defense on the field very little. And you stop the other team. Hopefully they're three and out. And you get the ball back, and they don't see it again for another quarter.
Right.
So that's kind of the theme for the offense. If you can wind up scoring two touchdowns before they can get started, we've seen the Pirates, when we run the belly well, it's going to be even different with this type of offense that Mike's going to bring in here. Again, we had some other things lined up for tonight, and Mike it was a great hour tonight for us. And again, we appreciate greatly Coach Jones for being with us. And again, next week we planned at the back end. I thought maybe we'd have a little bit of time for another guest, but we'll have that guest on here next week, and we'll probably do a full session with them before we get back to students coming back the week after and other coaches. Just talk about what's going on with COVID and see where we are and how it's impacted these kids out here. And again, wanted to thank our sponsors. These are our sports sponsors that this will continue on, I think, from what we understand, all summer with this show. Therefore, we'll be able to kind of, this is what you're getting out of your dollar for your advertising from the spring sport type deal. So this is your 1 hour segment with Ken and I about what's going on with COVID and the sports here at Powell County. And again, it's been really, I think, very informative for a lot of folks out there. And just tune in to us on Wednesday nights at 6.
Even for us. I mean, yeah. To me, obviously, you know, to be able to have these conversations, get a different perspective, whether it's the coaching staff or even the students, again, just to provide this opportunity, this media outlet for people to be heard with what's going on, I think is a great thing. And obviously, the more family for giving us this opportunity to kind of carry on here as well.
Exactly. I'd like to thank all those folks here at WSKV. Keep listening to 104.9 for all the local information that you need. This is Dave Foner saying good night from PCSN, and for Ken saying good night.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. Serving East.